We return now to Night Call over Riverside Radio, WRVR, 106.7 FM in New York City.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to William Lederer about what are we doing in Vietnam. Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour, just prior to station identification. Mr. Hammer of Syracuse, New York, who's listening to Night Call over WAER, was addressing his questions to Mr. Lederer. Mr. Hammer, you had another question.
Yes, it's just that these Vietnamese peasants, I think this is a signal sign of our success, that they are not fleeing to the hills. Instead, they're coming into the towns, so that the populace is now no longer available to the VC. And I think this is, or the NVA either, and I think this is a mark of increasing support for the government. Sure, there are little frictions, but the support is there. And it just makes my skin crawl when I hear someone of Mr. Lederer's stature suggesting that we turn this country that we are now gradually bringing some security to over to the United Nations, which has not been able to get the communists out of Laos. It hasn't been able to do anything about the open violation of the agreement to keep a demilitarized zone, nor has it been able to do anything about even getting a comparable deceleration on the North Vietnamese side to our cease in the bombing. And if the UN can't do anything in that direction, then good Lord, I hate to think of going back and winning again at the cost of more lives. Well, we've already won once. I don't want to give it away.
Mr. Lederer, you want to respond?
Yeah, number one, I don't say that Westmoreland's others are liars, but they're dissembling, or they don't know.
Could I ask just quickly?
Yeah.
Mr. Lederer, I respect your judgment. I know you wouldn't say that if you didn't have something behind it, but you're putting your judgment up against a man that's been running the show for 3 years. Could you give your background for saying such a thing?
I've been in villages from one end of that place to the other, and the average Vietnamese is a farmer. He doesn't like to leave his home. If you want to be very sweet, for example, to your mother, the word you call her is home. The fact that they are going into the urban areas is the surest proof that they have been thrown out and we are being licked. This is the real proof of it, because they will stay on their land for 15, 20 generations, and we have thrown them off.
But why wouldn't they go to join the VC forces in the hills?
They support them. The only reason they've moved is we've bombed them out.
Oh, now, come now. Now, when it comes to bombing, you're no more of an expert than I am at this, Mr. Lederer, and I know what I'm talking about in this area.
I recommend you read the book, The Air War, Vietnam.
I don't need to read the book. I fought the war, and I was a forward air controller. I was the man that controlled bombs that were put on targets.
Sir, I have been in the villages which have been bombed.
Well,
anyway,
isn't it possible that there's an honest, that you've seen things, and let's say Westmoreland and I have seen things, and that there are available different interpretations of what you've seen?
I doubt it. I have been in villages from one end of that land into the other. I have hiked out with refugees from the Chinese border down, if you go out there now, as I had last year, in village after village, they want us out. They dislike us. I regret this. It makes me unhappy.
Well, is the same thing true, though, of the NVA? In other words, do they want us out so that the NVA can come in? Or do you think maybe they feel the same way towards everybody? In other words, my experience is that the Vietnamese farmer, just like the farmer in Ohio, or for that matter in Germany, wants the privilege of tilling his field.
I quite agree.
Well, in that case, though, don't you think you should make it clear that this feeling is not anti-American, it's anti-anybody that's taking him off his land?
Yes, but it is the Americans who have taken them off the land, sir.
No, I don't think that's true. At Thuy Hoa in 1966, the Viet Cong announced that they would not allow the farmers to go into their fields. And the American 101st attempted to protect them. The Viet Cong blew up three buses with a total of 56 people. These are all civilians. within about 3 hours at one crossroads in order to keep their own people from going into the land. Now, you can't tell that Vietnamese that it's the American that's keeping them off the land and the Viet Cong that's getting them on
it.
Mr. Hammer and Mr. Lederer, I'm going to have to interfere here. I hate to do so. Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Yes, goodbye.
Just in passing, I'd like to raise this question to you, Mr. Lederer. In the New York Times review of your book, Fortune editor John Mecklen has suggested that some of the material in it is worth a congressional investigation. Now, to your knowledge, is one being planned, and if so, by what committee, and when will it start?
I don't know, but I know that your guest for Thursday night, Colonel Carson and I, have just come from Washington with the Moss subcommittee trying to help them on their know-how of that area. I haven't been asked for any real other stuff as of now.
One other question.
I'd be delighted if they asked me.
Again, going back to your book, Our Own Worst Enemy, the question was raised that you stated that the Saigon black market does an annual business of $10 billion, and there seems to be some question about this figure.
Would you say that all over, sir?
In the review of your book, Our Own Worst Enemy, Mr. Mecklen raises the question that your figure of $10 billion being spent in the black market is a questionable figure.
Oh, yes. Now, I'd be delighted. I think that Mecklen is wrong and that the number I had is very low. You must remember that although Mecklen is a good newsman, he spent a couple of years as the public relations man of the embassy in Saigon. And so he might be inclined to have some little bias. But anyway, the $10 billion is low. Bear in mind that they're not only making money from the black market directly, but also they are making money from stuff like running the American laundries, which is worth $80 million per annum. They are diverting our arms to other nations. They're selling antibiotics. Everybody's making money off of us, and $10 billion is a very low amount.
We'll take our next call locally. Mr. Savage is listening tonight. Call over WLIB FM from Newark, New Jersey. Welcome tonight, call, sir.
Good evening. A question for the gentleman. I'd like to preface my question with a statement. Like I would say that certainly our president and his advisors are people of great intelligence and perception. And this being true, perhaps I'm certain that they, of course, can see solutions to the Vietnam crisis as simply as we can see them. Now my question, if this be true, and it is so simple to end it, and I concur with what the gentleman says almost wholeheartedly, then what, in his opinion, is the basic reason, I mean, not the projected reason that we give the public and the press gives out, but the basic and real reason that we stay there and slaughter our boys?
I wish I knew. I suspect it is that it's political. If Johnson went and started to crop fish now, it might look that he hadn't been so good. And also, we are so scared that the administration in Vietnam might collapse that we'll do anything to hold them.
Is it so important, do you believe, in your opinion, that it is so important whether the administration in Vietnam collapses or not, that we should put ourselves in this position where we're losing men almost flagrantly?
I think it's criminal, and I agree with you.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. Remember, you may call collect. Area code 212-749-3311. What are we doing in Vietnam? Our guest tonight, Mr. William Lederer, the author of Our Own Worst Enemy. Our next call for Mr. Bagley. who's listening to Night Call over WLIB-FM from the Bronx, New York. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you, sir, wouldn't you say that the vast majority of the citizens in the United States now dissent with our government's present policy in Vietnam?
I think that they do, and also the only one who is winning there is the people, are those who are around the present Saigon administration making money. And the real losers are the South Vietnamese, 17 million of them.
Yes, well, suppose the present administration was voted out. What would be the possible alternative of the possible immediate alternative of a new administration?
You mean in Vietnam?
Yeah.
I believe that if you made it open, there would be many first-class Vietnamese who would rally and would make a good government. But they're all scared. For example, you have in South Vietnam only 200 approximately doctors who have been through medical school for the whole civilian population. But there are 25,000 South Vietnamese doctors in France, but they refuse to come home because of the corrupt administration. So you see, if you had a good administration, the whole land would start to become alive.
Well, how would we guarantee an administration, or how would any administration in Vietnam guarantee the different businessmen, doctors, and so forth security and protection so that they could carry on their business?
That's a tough one to answer over the phone here in a minute. But if you, these guys would know it by instinct, really. The ones who are in power now are not even South Vietnamese, they're North Vietnamese. Almost everybody in the Saigon administration is from the North.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest tonight, Mr. William Lederer, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest William Lederer after station identification.
So the point is, I'm not saying he's alive, and I'm not saying he isn't. It's just that even if I thought he was, my life is pretty full without any divine... Say, can I get you a drink?
No, thanks.
After all, I get two air-conditioned cars, color TV, 8mm camera with a zoom lens, and then I got the boat.
How often do you get down to your boat?
Oh, regularly. Well, I haven't been able to get down for about 5-6 months now, but one of these weekends, the wife and I are going to get down there, right, baby?
Yeah.
Now, look, Harriet, I'm trying to talk to the man here.
You want to do me a favor? Why don't you stop with all that?
Look, I'm trying to explain how our lives are very full, so don't start.
Listen, I'm sorry I brought it up. I can see your life is very full.
You bet it's full. We get along perfectly well, thank you, without God.
Right. Just checking.
A message from the Protestant Council of the City of New York.
Send your comments about this message to this station, WRVR, New York.
Now back to Night Call.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to William Lederer about what are we doing in Vietnam. Again, Del Shields.
And now, I guess Mr. William Lederer is calling in from Vermont, and I understand there's a storm brewing out there. Is that true, Mr. Lederer?
Yes, sir. The noise you hear here is the thunder, and the crackles is the lightning, and the lights went out, but the telephone is still operating.
Thank you. Well, let's see if we can hold it till 12:30. We'll take our next call from Washington, D.C. Mr. Bogri is listening to a Night Call over WAMU-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
How do you do?
Good evening.
Hello, Mr. Lederer.
Yes, sir.
I had spent an afternoon with Colonel Corson
2 weeks ago, interviewing him after reading his book. I've read most of yours also. Would you agree with the statement of Professor Jim Thompson that Vietnam is the perfect example of how not to conduct a foreign policy, but it wouldn't be so bad if we could learn from Vietnamese mistakes, from our mistakes in Vietnam?
Yes, sir, I agree, and I know him. He's my neighbor, and I agree completely.
Yes. Now, this is what I'd like to ask you. Secondly, I have myself done a considerable amount of research before having interviewed Colonel Corson and other people, and yet it seems to be very difficult to even offer any suggestions or new ideas to the people in power. They simply seem to be completely impervious to any ideas. And I wonder if you could suggest how it would be possible to get the results of such research before people who might be in a position to make decisions.
Well, the best way is in the elections next autumn. But I don't know the answer, except perhaps to write or to go on the air like now or on television, because they absolutely will not listen. They not only not listen, but they're not being honest. For example, I had written that 175-millimeter howitzer shells were being stolen from the Army and sent to Israel. The Secretary of Defense Clifford and General Wheeler of the Joint Chiefs of Staff were asked over to the Congress and asked this specifically. And they answered, it's not true. There's nothing in it at all, because Israel has no 175-millimeter howitzers. But what the truth is there was a typographical error, and there are 155-millimeter howitzers, and thousands of them were diverted from the U.S. Army to Israel. And if the Congress wants to know of it, the Department has a complete list of it. But see, this is dishonest. By just answering the question precisely and not in the spirit of it. And this is what's happening. And so who can penetrate that mentality? I don't know.
Could I ask you this, sir, if I may? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Are there any vehicles for publication of ideas of a more general nature concerning the basis for the miscalculations which are made in Vietnam, which you could suggest to me?
The tragedy of it is that the Congress has had many marvelous investigations. For example,
sir, what I'm trying to get at is,
yes,
if you could tell me if there are any channels for publication or enunciation of the results of research, such as I have done over the last 3 years, interviews in the Library of Congress and so forth, and Vietnamese here, and Americans such as Colonel Corson and many others, if there are any vehicles. I have seen Senator Hatfield,
yes, sir,
and others.
But I'd have to look at what you have, and if you will write me at Peacham, Vermont, P-E-A-C-H-A-M, I'll look at it, and I'd be delighted to help.
Yes.
I'll spend as many hours as is needed on it, and I will get you an outlet.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Right.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. Remember, you may call collect. We welcome your comments and your conversations on What Are We Doing in Vietnam? Our guest tonight calling in from Vermont, Mr. William Lederer. Our next call from Jersey City, New Jersey, Mr. Yalberton, is listening to Night Call over WWRL in New York. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
I only have one question to ask. Is the number of Viet Cong soldiers that are killed in Vietnam that come over the TV, is that number true?
I doubt it. This is based on body count, and I have not known a single newsman, including myself, who has asked the Army to count the bodies who has been allowed to count them, number one. Number two is, if you're in combat, you're not liable to be terribly accurate in staying behind to look at the numbers of the of the enemy who are laying stiff. I believe it's largely enlarged. If you add up the numbers of them, you've got practically the whole population of North Vietnam.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes.
Mr. Defina is listening to Night Call over WRVR-FM right here in New York. Mr. Defina is from Weehawken, New Jersey. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello. I'd like to ask you, Mr. Lederer. I've been finding some parallels with Vietnam and our own Civil War. We have a country that's been sort of split in half, and one half refuses to recognize the split. Ho Chi Minh has stated that his main concern is getting Vietnam reunified. I'm wondering, I don't know too much about the 54 Geneva Convention, but is there any provision in it to someday have the two halves reunited?
Yes, the Geneva Convention said that in 2 years later that they would be a ballot and let the inhabitants make up their own minds if it should be done or not. Well, the reason it was not held was that everybody believed that the North Vietnamese would get advantage, and so it was canceled.
Well, they are more populous, but that was also true of ourselves, and we used that as one of our reasons for not letting the Confederate States of America go through with their secession.
Yes, sir, that's right.
I mean, couldn't we, as part of these peace talks, get a constitution for the country that would set up an election for both sides, that would also legalize any party getting into power making other parties illegal in the future? In other words, if the communists did win, as they might because of numbers at the present time, they couldn't come in and make another party illegal and hold on to the country forever and sort of make the elections in the future, undemocratic.
They could not be, sir, any more undemocratic than the ones that we held last September.
Well,
they were rigged right up to the ears.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, sir.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Lederer, what would the United States consider acceptable terms for ceasing hostilities in Vietnam?
I didn't quite hear you, sir.
What would the United States consider acceptable terms for ceasing hostilities in Vietnam?
Well, the one which I understand has been spoken by the president is that the South Vietnamese be permitted to choose their own form of government. That is roughly it.
We'll take another call, this time from Durham, North Carolina. Dr. Davis is listening to Night Call over WSRC-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Mr. Lederer.
Yes, doctor.
This really isn't a question. I just wanted to applaud that portion of your book which I saw in the Post, and to say and offer a comment that the doormat diplomacy you spoke of is not restricted to Vietnam. I have seen it in operation elsewhere, and I join you in decrying those who wish always to apologize for American ways and American democracy, or even insisting of some bit of democracy on the part of our friends. So I hope that your book will lead us to a little more agitation, a little more insistence on democratic forms.
Well, if enough of us holler, we can do it.
Fine. Thank you very much. Keep
You're
up
welcome,
the good
doctor.
Work.
Thank
Bye
you for
now.
Calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York, and we may have time to take one more call if you can come through. But in the meantime, Mr. Lederer, you have mentioned throughout the evening that there's one way that perhaps we can help to clarify some of the issues, and this is by addressing our comments to our congressmen and our people in the House, where we feel that if we would plague them enough, perhaps we might get some action. But I was only wondering and thinking tonight that is the question still one of great political significance, in the fact that much of what is happening seems to be the ruling or the determination of the president as opposed to Congress. Is Congress actually giving the president a blank check in terms of allowing him to conduct the program in Vietnam?
They'd like not, but after the Tonkin incident, they did let him have it, and he still has it now. Yes, sir.
We'll take one more call, and this time from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. We have a listener who's listening to or hearing Night Call over WBAX. Welcome to Night Call. Welcome to Night Call.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'd like to ask Mr. Lever about, well, I did hear the program on television Sunday that was Colonel Carson.
Yes, ma'am.
I detected an awful lot of wrong in what he was saying, and you both are close in touch. I think now that the United States, we the people should stick together and give news of a little bit more of the right, not to the left. It sounds very radical. We are American citizens listening to something that you write a book about and discriminate so much on the radio. It doesn't sound very American-like.
Ma'am, it's quite the opposite. Colonel Carson and I believe that the Americans are tough and that the real and honest news should not be withheld. And we believe that if Americans are told the truth, the country will stick together like a stone.
Mr. Lederer, thank you so much for being with us, and our listener from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, thank you. This has been Night Calling New York. This is Del Shields. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, What Are We Doing in Vietnam? Part 3, A Hawk's Eye View with Congressman Edward Hebert of the House Armed Services Committee. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.
And thus, WRVR concludes its broadcasting for today. As authorized by the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C., we operate with an effective radiated power of 19,000 watts,